Let's turn in God's Word now to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. And we will read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 20. Judges chapter 14. And we'll be reading, beginning in verse 1. Before we do so, let's pray and ask for the Lord's help. Our gracious Father, how mighty You are. How good You are. And how so far beyond comprehension is Your eternal decrees from our understanding. Father, we're thankful for Your providence. We pray that You would teach us Your ways in this passage. And Your Son, Jesus Christ, would be exalted. That would bring about glory unto You, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges 14, verse 1. These are God's words. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. And his father and mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them. And they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. But he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days, while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the 7th day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he went down to Ascalon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Those are God's words. So remember the last chapter, Manoah and his wife have a son, a child, after his wife was barren. And this was, again, a child of promise as the Lord in Christ manifested as a man called the Lord, the angel of the Lord came and spoke that promise to them. And all for the delivering, we learn to the beginning of the delivering of Israel from the Philistines. That was chapter 13. And he has done so, the Lord has done so in bringing about a child of promise who now, as we come to chapter 14, is grown into an adult to the time of marrying. In this chapter as a whole, we will see Samson's weaknesses as Jehovah's servant. And in all of it, we will be moved to see our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has no weaknesses as our Savior. And once again, we will see Him exalted. The first point this evening, the Lord's providence. The Lord's providence. And it should interest you, if you probably didn't see it, that a particular verb in the chapter is repeated 14 times, just in 20 verses. It's the verb to tell or declare or expound. And that's what this chapter is all about. But more particularly, it's about not telling and not declaring. It's all about what people don't know. There's a lot of that in this chapter. Now we get the big picture view. They don't know all the details that we know. Right? We know a lot of the details of what God is doing and His purposes. They don't know all of that. And so we get to learn a lot more in the midst of the actual circumstances that are happening here, more than Manoah and his wife and Samson. And we're revealed much about in that all God's providence. Now, some of you might ask, what is God's providence? And one answer, of course, is our catechism question and answer. What are God's works of providence? God's works of providence are His most holy and wise and powerful, preserving and governing all His creatures and all their actions. God powerfully, wisely, with holiness, preserves and governs all His creatures, that's everyone, and all their actions. And so Jehovah preserves and governs all His creatures, including Satan. We've learned a lot about Satan recently with Job and in Matthew's Gospel when it was considered murder. He governs all His creatures, even Satan. And all their actions He governs and preserves. And yet the Lord is not the author of evil. And that's important to know, even though we won't be studying how He's not the author of evil this evening. It's important to remember that in our passage. Now, if you remember from the last chapter, Manoah and his wife seem to be a pretty godly couple, don't they? Even in the midst of the great rebellion and idolatry of all of God's people of Israel against Jehovah, and they're worshiping after other gods. And for this reason, the Lord has sent and delivered them unto the Philistines to be oppressed by them for 40 years. And yet they're still seem to be a pretty godly couple. And so they have now, of this child of the promise, Samson who's been born, they have high hopes for their son. Nazarite, right? He is supposed to live a holy life, set apart even from normal Jews. A son who is promised to them to begin to deliver the Philistines. But Samson, as we read in this chapter, if we are taking it from the perspective of Manoah and his wife, he doesn't seem to be turning out how they thought when the Lord had promised them that this child would be born of them and of Manoah's wife. You look at verse 1, it says, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. And what is this? This is nothing but turning from the Lord's command. We've learned that many times before, right? That they were not to marry or intermarry with the foreign women or the Canaanite women in the land. And here's now a foreign woman, Philistine woman, to go after her and marry her. The same today in intermarriage with unbelievers. Samson was, again, a Nazarite. He was supposed to live an extra set apart life of holiness. Well, this is the exact opposite of that. Samson had gone down to the Philistines' occupied town of Timnath. And there he saw. That's an important verb. He saw a Philistine woman. And notice with his eyes, he saw her. And when we remember why this is important, we think of Genesis 6, the cause of the flood. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them as wives of all which they chose. God's covenant, young men, seeing with their eyes unbelieving women who were pleasing to their sight, marrying them, and the wickedness of man grew in the earth to such an extent that the Lord sent and judged the earth with a great flood. And here we are again. We've seen it many times since Genesis 6. Samson saw a woman and desired to marry her because, according to his eyes, she pleased him. And he comes back and comes home to his parents and he tells them, get her for me to marry. You see that, beloved? Even though this is a bad example of Samson going out and finding a pagan woman, and yet we see that a part of him is sort of, he knows the Lord's ways and he follows the Lord's ways in some parts. To marry, he goes to his parents. Right? Parents, we've seen this before with Abraham and Isaac's marriage, Genesis 24. That parents lead the marriages of their children, not the children, going off on their own in the lusts of and their passions with clouded judgment and marrying random people. You see that here more so, verse 3. The father and mother, what they have done, they've probably, most likely, they've instructed Samson about this as they've raised him. Verse 3, then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Of all the women of the nation of Israel, there they are. And today we'd say, look at all the women in the church, or look at all, are there not all these in the church that you could choose from, and you go out into the world and choose from one of them? Is there not a woman among the daughters of Israel, among the people of God, that you can take a wife instead of from one of these unbelieving heathen Philistines? Samson doesn't care. He says, no, the woman that I have seen pleases me. Only the eyes choosing. And that's what parents are to keep their children from. Samson's parents are distraught. Right? They're back in the last chapter. They had that hope in the birth of their son of promise. Manoah is over here pleading, but she's a Philistine. That's not one of God's people. Surely the Lord did not have this in mind when he promised this son who was supposed to be a Nazarite. That's what Manoah is thinking. But the Samson, the Philistine daughter, was right in his eyes. That's the language in verse 3. Right in his eyes. Now, Samson didn't know except that it was right in his eyes. And this is what Israel will be characterized in the future, even in this book at the end. And going into 1 Samuel, doing what was right in their own sight. Right, Israel. And that's the language here. Samson beginning to give indication of what's to come in the future for Israel. Samson wants her. She's right in his sight. Instead of right according to the Lord, right according to Samson. Like the other judges before him, he's bent on doing whatever he wants while in the midst of the Lord using him to deliver Israel. Right? Now look at all the judges in the past and how their weaknesses, all those weaknesses they had. And Samson's really no different than them. But only to point us once again to the perfect deliverer, holy deliverer, Jesus Christ. But Samson doesn't have any other reason except that she's pleasing to him. And so he doesn't know the real reason. Manoah and his wife, Samson's parents, they don't know the real reason why this is happening either. They're distraught. The Lord doesn't reveal it to any of them, but He does reveal it to us by God's grace. The mystery has been revealed. But this is God's providence in this case. Does it make it right what Samson did? No. Not for Samson, not for Manoah and his wife to allow it. But look at verse 4. But his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. The God of all providence had planned this, all of it. He had raised up Samson for this very purpose, to begin to deliver his people Israel from the Philistines and all their enemies. And yet Samson didn't know why. He just saw the woman, he wanted her. And his parents didn't know why, and yet this was from Jehovah. This marriage would be the occasion, as we'll see at the end of the chapter, that the Lord sought to deliver Israel, began to do so, from the Philistines. Manoah, his wife, Samson, and the Philistine daughter, none of them know the Lord's purposes. They do not know the Lord's eternal decree. Why is this happening? And yet, it is of the Lord. Pay attention. It is of the Lord. And in His providence, this happens. In His providence, how many things happen in the church? Wickedness, sin, and it's all in the Lord's providence. And so there's mystery here. There's mystery here. Now, for Samson's parents, it would have been nice to know that Jehovah, what he was doing, to bring comfort to them through their a heartache of this Nazarite son pursuing this unbelieving, unholy daughter of Philistia. They couldn't see the Lord was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. And so does this mean they were wrong to object to Samson's desire and action? Of course not. They should have. They should have forbid him all the more. Does it mean that Samson's desires were godly or that his stubbornness against his parents was right? Of course not. It means that neither Samson's foolishness nor stubbornness is going to prevent the Lord from accomplishing His predetermined plan. The Lord, as we've seen many times throughout the Scriptures, can and will use the sinfulness and the folly of His servants, as we've seen many times, to bring about His eternal plans and purposes. And so when we are living in the moment, in the present, like Manoah and his wife and Samson, when we're living in the present, we do not always understand or see why what is happening is happening. We don't know the purposes behind it always, but the Lord knows. And we see that here. And so there should be some hope for God's people here. We can often see in the church and our family sin, the disappointment of God's covenant people, His covenant children, children set apart, baptism, right, like a Nazarite son. Children. And that often dominates our thoughts. And not always, but perhaps it is only a veil, a covering the Lord's grand plan from eternity. Perhaps it's the Lord's plan, and it's at times to bring about such things from what is eventually His saving design manifested, shown to us, working through folly and unbelief even of our children. Many Christian parents have been where Manoah and his wife have been with their children. They have, though not perfect, they have faithfully taught, prayed for, disciplined, loved their sons and daughters, only to see that child willfully turn away from the Lord. And it's devastating to each parent who is a Christian. But do not forget verse 4. For what we don't know may yet prove to be our great comfort regarding our children. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Remember once again, beloved, 2 Corinthians 6. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what should we do with our eyes that Samson did not? Job 31, I made a covenant with mine eyes. When then should I think upon a maid? Let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands, then let me sow, and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out. And then children, consider Ephesians 6. Hopefully most of the children here have heard Ephesians 6 before from their parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, as well with you, children, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The Lord's providence. The second point this evening is the Lord's strength. The Lord's strength. Samson continues his waywardness. Verse 5. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. So this reveals that Samson had wandered off from his parents. He didn't tell them what he had did to the lion, so they weren't with him. They didn't see it, and he didn't tell them. He had wandered off from his parents, which was typical of a wayward child, and this wayward child. But it ought not to be any of you children here. The children here ought to follow their parents and be with their parents, to teach, to be taught the righteous ways of the Lord. But it ought not to be like Samson here. They are on this journey, going back down to Timnath to come to the unbelieving woman, to meet her, to see her, and to engage in marriage. And Samson turns aside. No sooner did he do that, the young lion here attacks him. And you see what happens when we go out into the world. It's the same thing as what happened to Samson. When we go out from our parents and stop submitting to them, and we go off into the world, Satan attacks us. The lion attacks. Satan comes as a great adversary, like a roaring lion, walking about seeking someone that he may devour. Children, remember, in all of your desire to have freedom from your parents, especially older kids, you want to have freedom from your parents. Remember that you're going to be exposed when you go off from your parents and you rebel against them. You're going to be exposed mightily to the great adversary, the devil. That's the promise here. The spiritually wise will avoid that way of danger. Samson does not. And yet the wandering of God's servant here gives occasion for a young lion to attack. And lion versus man, who wins that? We know without a weapon, and there's nothing in Samson's hand, it says in verse 6, the lion wins that easily. Man is no competition with no weapons. And yet here is the opportunity for the Lord to show His purpose, to show His strength through Samson, that Samson would learn that the Lord is the God of all strength. That's what the Lord is showing Samson here. Verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Look with, beloved, Jehovah's strength to Samson. This young lion could have been a young goat. That's how strong the Lord made Samson to be. It could have been just like the young goat, and taking a young goat and destroying him. It was nothing, this lion against the Lord. the strength of the Lord. Look now at the dead lion, Samson. Samson needs to look at the dead lion. Jehovah can and will do great things. Our God is the God of strength and power. He is all powerful. He's omnipotent. And so that the God who makes Samson able to tear up lions is the God who will strengthen him against the Philistines. He's preparing him to attack the Philistines and deliver Israel. And they may seem like a great adversary, the Philistines, greater in number, of course. But no matter, with the Lord, it will be like nothing. Because the Lord is his strength. And so this is just a sign and a preview of what the Lord will do through Samson. And it's the same with David. As the Lord was with him in 1 Samuel 17, he says, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God." Right? The Lord had prepared David to face the one who everybody in Israel feared. He prepared him. He showed him the strength of the Lord, that it would be the Lord's strength would be with him. And so he had faith and went forth against Goliath. Notice, beloved, that Samson, again, had no weapons, no tools in his hands. How do you fight against the great murderer Satan? Not with hands, not with tools or weapons of war. Most effectively, we do so by looking to our God in Christ. He's our strength. Looking to our Savior to fight. Like Psalm 35, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. And take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation." And yet, the Lord has given us tools, hasn't he? He's given us the Word. He's given us faith. He's given us righteousness. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us all these things, our salvation. And yet, we still must plead Christ's strength. You are in a battle. Each one of us here is in a battle today against our sin. Plead unto the Lord in Christ. He is more than strong enough to put to death and mortify your sin by the Spirit. Right? Our Savior took on temptation. Matthew 4. He took on temptation and the devil head on. Right? And he has fooled principalities and powers, triumphing over them in himself. And now he's exalted in his own strength. Samson returns to his parents on the way, but he didn't tell them what he had done. Still his strength covered in mystery, kept secret. That is, the Holy Spirit working through him, kept secret. And the woman pleased Samson. Well, then there's the third trip. This time to take her as his wife, verse 8. "And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." So on the way back to the lion's carcass, or on the way back, he goes to the lion's carcass and there's a swarm of bees. Don't forget the swarm of bees. That's important. And there's honey in the lion, the dead carcass of the lion. He goes back to the place that God's strength is manifested, in which he was shown not to fear the strength of the Philistines. Perhaps he was taught here, in this second occasion to the lion, not to fear the number of the Philistines, for there were a swarm of bees, many bees. But he went right in and got the honey. Psalm 118, "They compassed me about like bees. They quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them." And here he shared the honey with his parents. And so, of course, here, children, you're encouraged to serve your parents, as Samson did. But so too, beloved, this calls us to evangelize, actually. If you found the sweetness of the grace of God in the gospel and have been granted strength and eternal life, then communicate that sweetness to your friends, to your family, to invite them to come and share in it with you. Our Lord Jesus has conquered that roaring lion Satan. Believers find honey then, blessings in the carcass, abundant strength and satisfaction enough for ourselves and for all of our neighbors from that victory of Christ. And so we have a God who is almighty in power, He's almighty in strength, and it's crucial then we keep relying on His strength. We keep not relying on our own strength. You know, when the Lord does great things, we give Him praise. And we often think then that He will automatically work through us again or for us again, and we don't keep relying on Him. And we don't keep pleading for Him to be our strength. And our reliance comes upon ourselves instead. And what happens every time? We fall miserably. Beloved, keep relying day by day on the strength of the Lord who in Christ is victorious. Always. The Lord's strength. That's the second point. The third point, the final point, the Lord's servant. The Lord's servant. We're going to see a lot of weakness in His servant. Not only here, but in the coming chapters. Yet now, coming to the marriage feast and celebration, they're married. We still know more than Samson. We know in God's providence, He's given us the clarity of it. We know more than Manoah and his wife. Here are these 30 Philistine companions given to Samson for the feast to kind of give him somebody to be with, right? Because he's in Philistia. And they're occupied territory, and there's not many Israelite people around to celebrate the marriage with him. And so he's given these 30 Philistine companions for this week of celebrating. And then he gives them, as they're entertaining, they're enjoying themselves, he gives them some more entertainment by propounding a riddle. We see this in verse 10 through 14. Verse 10, so his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young For use the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if you cannot declare it to me, then shall you give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. Now, if we exegete or interpret the riddle, lions, of course, are not normally becoming prey and giving out their meat. And yet food came from the lion. And it's also typical that out of such animals, strong as lions, that their meat isn't going to be the best meat. And yet, out of the strong came sweetness, the honey. Who would have thought honey would have come about from a lion? And yet, beloved, this riddle is the same in the church for us, is it not? The Lord's overruling providence brings about good out of evil. So many times to His church and to His people. That's what we read last Lord's Day, Romans 8. Even when that which threatens us unto destruction becomes our advantage, when enemies are made to serve God's people. Right? Everything is against us, but that brings about, they're trying to destroy us, but it actually turns on their head. And it becomes an advantage to us, and they serve us. And the wrath of men turns to God's praise. So then comes meat out of the eater, and sweetness out of the strong. Right, Philippians chapter 1 Paul praising the Lord. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And he's in jail, right? All those things have brought about the furtherance of the gospel. We would never have expected that, but God works all things together for good. Well, when these companions from the Philistines couldn't figure out the riddle, they went to Samson's wife. Surely, he would have told her. And if he doesn't, then we're going to get her to find it out. And yet they don't seem too keen on losing the bet, do they? They threaten his wife. Verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. It came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. There are, in those four verses, many evils. Many evils in those four verses. One is engaging with one's spouse to go against the spouse, to go against the other spouse. To encourage a wife to go against her husband is wicked. It's a scheme of the devil. Always is. They are to be one, and we are not to divide them as people, as God's people. That's nothing but Satan, to divide a marriage. And so God's people, be careful not to engage in such wickedness. Moreover, we see here a contentious wife. Also, we see men who threaten harm and damage to property. But in Samson's weakness, revealing the riddle, remember, he could have easily said to his wife, he'd tell her after the 7 days, after the bet, if we would call it the bet, was won, knowing the possibility, knowing of those possibility of their attacks. But we see his weakness here in communicating the riddle to his wife. But that only leads us to something for the future. And how can that be said? How can that be the determination when this has to do with a married couple? They're supposed to have open communication, right? Again, there was a way around that. He could have told her after the 7 days. It's not a huge deal. It's just a riddle. But this is a foreshadowing of what? Samson and Delilah. When we will again see Samson in his weakness. A far greater secret he reveals. And so remember, this child was all about not telling, not telling, not telling. But here's Samson in his weakness, revealing, telling the riddle. And how did it come to be revealed? Verse 17, she lay sore upon him. She pressured him. All right, Peter met that weakness too when he denied Christ 3 times in the night he was betrayed. Well, everybody has their weakness. What are your weaknesses? Know them. Turn to the Lord to be strengthened in them. The companions come to him to declare the meaning of the riddle, and yet they're going behind his back to have his wife reveal it to them, gives them over to destruction. At least the Philistines to destruction. 30 of them. He said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, that's his wife, ye had not found out my riddle. And the last two verses is his response to that. The beginning of the deliverance of Israel to the Philistines. Verse 19, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. He killed 30 men, not the companions, but he killed 30 men from Philistia, of the Philistines, took their garments and paid the bet for losing the riddle. And he went home, leaving his wife to one of the 30 companions from Philistia. His companions had abused him. His wife betrayed him. And there's anger. Samson is not to be commended for leaving his wife. But what a great lesson in the whole of the text to not put the little confidence, the little faith that we do have in man. Consider how Christ felt by the treachery of his own disciples. Let that not be any of us today. Our friend Samson's riddle points us to the highest realization of the Savior's work in redemption for us. 1 Timothy 3, that the mystery is revealed in Christ. Right, the whole chapter, we've been kind of hearing about the mystery. There's things not being told. Not being told Manoah, his wife, Samson, etc. But all those Old Testament revelations and promises, all those are kind of veiled in mystery until we get to the New Testament, to Christ. 1 Timothy 3 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, here's the mystery that's now manifest. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And so the Old Testament, filled with truth and yet slightly veiled. And then now that Christ has come, that which remained in mystery for such a long time has been fully revealed, or more fully revealed. 1 Corinthians 1, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. 1 Corinthians 2, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And then consider Hebrews 2. Jesus, in the midst of human weakness through death, defeated the roaring lion. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He delivers us through his death and destroys, in his resurrection, destroy the work of the devil. Out of death, the eater, the devourer of all men comes forth, which is meat indeed, even the bread of life, the strong man whose head is already bruised. He'll be finally crushed. He yields forth in Christ everlasting sweetness to the saints. In Christ he brings about sweetness. His defeat brings about sweetness to the saints. Our God always brings good out of evil. And that solves any so-called problem there ever is brought up, which there is no problem. But it solves that problem in which people say that, you know, ask the question, why does God permit evil to occur? He brings good out of evil. That's why. Another reason why. To exalt Christ. To save and bless the children of God. We learn that in Romans 9. He showed his power over those who were not shown mercy, not shown compassion, but rather hardened. All to show mercy, the riches of his glory to vessels of mercy. Oh, how strange it is for verse 4, the Lord's plan be for Samson to marry a foreigner, and yet through it brings about deliverance, the beginning of deliverance for God's people at the strength of the Lord. His marriage was of the Lord in his eternal decrees. How strange then it is, even Christ's entrance into the world of sin to take the church as his bride. That doesn't make sense. And yet that's exactly what's pictured in Samson marrying this Philistine woman. Christ came into the world and took the church as his bride, who was wicked and unbelieving. Galatians 1, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And while Samson begins to deliver Israel at the end of the chapter here, Jesus finally, we heard it last Wednesday, finally delivers Israel, his church, Israel according to the promise, Romans 9, that we heard. Our gracious Savior, each of you must turn to to our gracious Savior, to be delivered from your sins, from your weaknesses, from your father, the devil. And you are to come unto the perfect deliverer and Savior, Jesus Christ, and plead unto Him for salvation and strength. And when you come into the kingdom and are made part of the bride of Christ, then forget your former people. That's what the bride in Philistia should have done. To forget her former people. Those out there like Samson's wife, and never betray your husband, your Savior, Jesus Christ. Come to be part of the bride and love your husband and have that full allegiance unto him. Just as a wife ought to have full allegiance unto her husband, and a husband ought to have full allegiance unto her wife, unto his wife, as they have full allegiance unto Christ. Your calling is to come to be part of the bride by uniting yourself to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, by faith. So marry him, unite with him in eternal communion, turn from your former people that lead you to death, and come unto Christ and have life forever. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, our perfect deliverer. You who often work in us, though often we don't even know it, often work through us by your almighty strength to bring down evil and wickedness, even the devil. And so, Father, we ask that you would build us up. You would encourage us in Christ. You would call us to faithfully follow you in every step. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.